The Sources of the Self by Charles Taylor. Books.Kim, free summaries of best-selling books. Download PDF and MP3 versions of the summary from www.books.kim. Summary. The Sources of the Self, The Making of the Modern Identity, written by Charles Taylor, is a philosophical exploration of the concept of identity. Taylor examines the various sources of identity, including religion, culture, and history, and how they shape our sense of self. He argues that identity is not a fixed, static concept, but rather a dynamic, ever-evolving process. He also examines the role of language in identity formation, and how language can both shape and be shaped by our sense of self. Taylor argues that identity is not only a matter of individual choice, but is also shaped by the collective forces of society. He further argues that identity is not only a matter of individual choice, but is also shaped by the collective forces of society. He examines the role of power and privilege in identity formation, and how these forces can both enable and constrain our sense of self. Finally, Taylor examines the role of morality in identity formation, and how our moral values can both shape and be shaped by our sense of self. Taylor begins by examining the various sources of identity, including religion, culture, and history. He argues that identity is not a fixed, static concept, but rather a dynamic, ever-evolving process. He examines the role of language in identity formation, and how language can both shape and be shaped by our sense of self. Taylor then examines the role of power and privilege in identity formation, and how these forces can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that identity is not only a matter of individual choice, but is also shaped by the collective forces of society. Finally, Taylor examines the role of morality in identity formation, and how our moral values can both shape and be shaped by our sense of self. Taylor's book is an important contribution to the philosophical exploration of identity. He examines the various sources of identity, and how they shape our sense of self. He argues that identity is not a fixed, static concept, but rather a dynamic, ever-evolving process. He examines the role of language, power, and morality in identity formation, and how these forces can both shape and be shaped by our sense of self. Taylor's book is an important contribution to the philosophical exploration of identity, and provides an insightful look into the complex nature of identity formation. Main ideas. Main idea number 1. The sources of the self, the idea that the self is a product of a variety of sources, including social, cultural, and religious influences, is explored in Charles Taylor's book. He argues that the self is not a fixed entity, but rather a complex and ever-changing product of the various influences that shape it. In his book The Sources of the Self, Charles Taylor explores the idea that the self is not a fixed entity, but rather a complex and ever-changing product of the various influences that shape it. Taylor argues that the self is formed by a variety of sources, including social, cultural, and religious influences. He suggests that the self is constantly in flux, and that it is shaped by the various forces that act upon it. Taylor further argues that the self is not a static entity, but rather a dynamic and ever-evolving product of the various influences that shape it. Taylor argues that the self is not only shaped by external influences, but also by internal ones. He suggests that the self is a product of both conscious and unconscious processes, and that it is constantly being shaped by the various forces that act upon it. Taylor further argues that the self is not a fixed entity, but rather a complex and ever-changing product of the various influences that shape it. He suggests that the self is constantly in flux, and that it is shaped by the various forces that act upon it. Taylor's book The Sources of the Self provides an in-depth exploration of the idea that the self is a product of a variety of sources. He argues that the self is not a fixed entity, but rather a complex and ever-changing product of the various influences that shape it. Taylor further suggests that the self is constantly in flux, and that it is shaped by the various forces that act upon it. By exploring the idea that the self is a product of a variety of sources, Taylor provides an insightful and thought-provoking look at the nature of the self. Main idea number 2. The self and the good. Taylor examines the idea that the self is not only shaped by external influences, but also by an internal sense of what is good and right. He argues that this internal sense of the good is essential to the formation of the self, and that it is the source of our moral and ethical values. In his book The Sources of the Self, Charles Taylor examines the idea that the self is not only shaped by external influences, but also by an internal sense of what is good and right. He argues that this internal sense of the good is essential to the formation of the self, and that it is the source of our moral and ethical values. Taylor suggests that this internal sense of the good is not something that is imposed on us from outside, but rather something that is inherent in our nature. He argues that it is this internal sense of the good that allows us to make decisions and take actions that are in line with our values and beliefs. Taylor further argues that this internal sense of the good is not something that is static, but rather something that is constantly evolving and changing as we grow and develop. He suggests that this internal sense of the good is something that is constantly being shaped and reshaped by our experiences and interactions with the world around us. He argues that it is this internal sense of the good that allows us to make decisions and take actions that are in line with our values and beliefs, even when those values and beliefs are in conflict with the values and beliefs of others. Ultimately, Taylor suggests that this internal sense of the good is essential to the formation of the self, and that it is the source of our moral and ethical values. He argues that it is this internal sense of the good that allows us to make decisions and take actions that are in line with our values and beliefs, even when those values and beliefs are in conflict with the values and beliefs of others. By understanding and embracing this internal sense of the good, Taylor suggests, we can become more aware of our own values and beliefs, and better able to make decisions and take actions that are in line with those values and beliefs. Main idea number 3. The self and the social. Taylor argues that the self is not only shaped by internal values, but also by the social environment in which it is formed. He examines how the social context shapes our sense of identity, and how it can both enable and constrain our sense of self. Charles Taylor's book, The Sources of the Self, examines the idea of the self in relation to the social environment. Taylor argues that the self is not only shaped by internal values, but also by the social environment in which it is formed. He examines how the social context shapes our sense of identity, and how it can both enable and constrain our sense of self. Taylor suggests that the self is not a static entity, but rather a dynamic one that is constantly being shaped and reshaped by the social environment. He argues that the self is not only shaped by the values and norms of the society in which it is formed, but also by the individual's own experiences and choices. Taylor further argues that the self is not only shaped by the external environment, but also by the internal environment of the individual. He suggests that the individual's internal environment is composed of their own values, beliefs, and desires, which can be shaped by the external environment. He argues that the individual's internal environment can be a source of strength and resilience, as well as a source of vulnerability and fragility. Taylor suggests that the individual's internal environment can be a source of both strength and vulnerability, and that it is important to recognize both in order to understand the self. Taylor's book, The Sources of the Self, provides an important insight into the relationship between the self and the social environment. He argues that the self is not only shaped by the external environment, but also by the individual's own internal environment. He suggests that the individual's internal environment can be a source of both strength and vulnerability, and that it is important to recognize both in order to understand the self. Taylor's book provides an important insight into the relationship between the self and the social environment, and how it can both enable and constrain our sense of self. Main idea number 4. The self and the political. Taylor examines the role of politics in shaping the self, and argues that political institutions and ideologies can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that the political context can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. In his book The Sources of the Self, Charles Taylor examines the role of politics in shaping the self. He argues that political institutions and ideologies can both enable and constrain our sense of self. Taylor suggests that the political context can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. He argues that the political context can provide us with a sense of belonging and purpose, while also limiting our freedom and autonomy. Taylor further suggests that the political context can shape our values and beliefs, and can even influence our sense of self-worth. Taylor argues that the political context can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He suggests that political institutions and ideologies can provide us with a sense of belonging and purpose, while also limiting our freedom and autonomy. Taylor further argues that the political context can shape our values and beliefs, and can even influence our sense of self-worth. He suggests that the political context can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor's analysis of the role of politics in shaping the self is an important contribution to our understanding of identity formation. His argument that the political context can both enable and constrain our sense of self is an important insight into the complex relationship between the individual and the political. Taylor's analysis of the role of politics in shaping the self provides us with a valuable framework for understanding the formation of identity in a political context. Main idea number 5. The self and the religious. Taylor examines the role of religion in shaping the self, and argues that religious beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that religious beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. In his book The Sources of the Self, Charles Taylor examines the role of religion in shaping the self. He argues that religious beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor suggests that religious beliefs and practices can provide a framework for understanding the world and our place in it, and can provide a sense of purpose and meaning. At the same time, he argues that religious beliefs and practices can also limit our sense of self, by providing a set of rules and expectations that can be difficult to live up to. Taylor argues that it is important to recognize the role of religion in shaping the self, and to understand how religious beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity. He suggests that it is important to recognize the potential of religion to both enable and constrain our sense of self, and to be aware of the ways in which religious beliefs and practices can shape our sense of identity. By understanding the role of religion in shaping the self, Taylor argues, we can better understand the formation of the self and the ways in which our sense of identity is shaped by our religious beliefs and practices. Main idea number 6. The self and the moral. Taylor examines the role of morality in shaping the self, and argues that moral beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that moral beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor argues that morality is an essential part of the self, and that it can both enable and constrain our sense of identity. He suggests that moral beliefs and practices can shape our sense of self in two ways. Firstly, they can provide us with a sense of purpose and direction, enabling us to make meaningful choices and decisions. Secondly, they can also limit our sense of self, by providing us with a set of rules and expectations that we must adhere to. Taylor argues that understanding the role of morality in the formation of the self is essential. He suggests that our moral beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is important to recognize this in order to understand the formation of the self. He argues that our moral beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self, and that it is important to recognize this in order to understand the formation of the self. Taylor also suggests that our moral beliefs and practices can shape our sense of self in a variety of ways. He argues that our moral beliefs and practices can provide us with a sense of purpose and direction, enabling us to make meaningful choices and decisions. He also suggests that our moral beliefs and practices can limit our sense of self, by providing us with a set of rules and expectations that we must adhere to. Ultimately, Taylor argues that morality is an essential part of the self, and that it can both enable and constrain our sense of identity. He suggests that understanding the role of morality in the formation of the self is essential, and that it is important to recognize the ways in which our moral beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self. Main idea number 7. The self and the aesthetic. Taylor examines the role of aesthetics in shaping the self, and argues that aesthetic beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that aesthetic beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor argues that aesthetic beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He suggests that aesthetic beliefs and practices can provide us with a sense of identity, as well as a way of expressing our individual and collective values. He further argues that aesthetic beliefs and practices can also limit our sense of self, by providing us with a narrow range of acceptable forms of expression and identity. Taylor argues that aesthetic beliefs and practices can shape our sense of self in a variety of ways. He suggests that aesthetic beliefs and practices can provide us with a sense of belonging, as well as a way of expressing our individual and collective values. He further argues that aesthetic beliefs and practices can also limit our sense of self, by providing us with a narrow range of acceptable forms of expression and identity. Taylor argues that aesthetic beliefs and practices can also be used to create a sense of self-worth. He suggests that aesthetic beliefs and practices can provide us with a sense of pride and accomplishment, as well as a way of expressing our individual and collective values. He further argues that aesthetic beliefs and practices can also limit our sense of self-worth, by providing us with a narrow range of acceptable forms of expression and identity. Taylor argues that aesthetic beliefs and practices can also be used to create a sense of meaning and purpose. He suggests that aesthetic beliefs and practices can provide us with a sense of purpose and direction, as well as a way of expressing our individual and collective values. He further argues that aesthetic beliefs and practices can also limit our sense of meaning and purpose, by providing us with a narrow range of acceptable forms of expression and identity. Ultimately, Taylor argues that aesthetic beliefs and practices can be both enabling and constraining for our sense of self. He suggests that aesthetic beliefs and practices can provide us with a sense of identity, as well as a way of expressing our individual and collective values. He further argues that aesthetic beliefs and practices can also limit our sense of self, by providing us with a narrow range of acceptable forms of expression and identity. Main idea number 8. The self and the historical. Taylor examines the role of history in shaping the self, and argues that historical events and developments can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that historical events and developments can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor argues that the self is shaped by history in two ways. First, he argues that the self is shaped by the historical events and developments that have enabled and constrained our sense of identity. He argues that the self is formed through the interplay of the individual's own experiences and the collective experiences of the society in which they live. Second, Taylor argues that the self is shaped by the historical context in which it is formed. He argues that the self is formed through the interplay of the individual's own experiences and the collective experiences of the society in which they live. He argues that the self is formed through the interplay of the individual's own experiences and the collective experiences of the society in which they live, and that this interplay is shaped by the historical context in which it takes place. Taylor argues that the self is shaped by the historical context in which it is formed, and that this context is shaped by the collective experiences of the society in which the individual lives. He argues that the self is formed through the interplay of the individual's own experiences and the collective experiences of the society in which they live, and that this interplay is shaped by the historical context in which it takes place. He argues that the self is shaped by the collective experiences of the society in which the individual lives, and that this collective experience is shaped by the historical context in which it takes place. Taylor argues that the self is shaped by the historical context in which it is formed, and that this context is shaped by the collective experiences of the society in which the individual lives. He argues that the self is formed through the interplay of the individual's own experiences and the collective experiences of the society in which they live, and that this interplay is shaped by the historical context in which it takes place. He argues that the self is shaped by the collective experiences of the society in which the individual lives, and that this collective experience is shaped by the historical context in which it takes place. He argues that the self is shaped by the collective experiences of the society in which the individual lives, and that this collective experience is shaped by the historical context in which it takes place. Main idea number 9. The self and the natural. Taylor examines the role of nature in shaping the self, and argues that natural forces and phenomena can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that natural forces and phenomena can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. In his book The Sources of the Self, Charles Taylor examines the role of nature in shaping the self. He argues that natural forces and phenomena can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor suggests that the natural world can provide us with a sense of belonging and connection, as well as a sense of our own uniqueness and individuality. He argues that the natural environment can provide us with a sense of stability and security, as well as a sense of freedom and exploration. Taylor also suggests that the natural world can provide us with a sense of purpose and meaning, as well as a sense of mystery and awe. Taylor further argues that the natural world can provide us with a sense of beauty and harmony, as well as a sense of challenge and struggle. He suggests that the natural environment can provide us with a sense of continuity and change, as well as a sense of order and chaos. Taylor also argues that the natural world can provide us with a sense of comfort and solace, as well as a sense of danger and risk. Ultimately, Taylor suggests that the natural world can provide us with a sense of self, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Main idea number 10. The self and the rational. Taylor examines the role of reason in shaping the self, and argues that rational beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that rational beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor argues that reason is a powerful tool for shaping the self, and that it can both enable and constrain our sense of identity. He suggests that rational beliefs and practices can provide a framework for understanding the formation of the self, and that they can help us to make sense of our experiences and our relationships with others. He further argues that rational beliefs and practices can help us to develop a sense of autonomy and self-determination, and that they can provide us with a sense of purpose and direction. At the same time, Taylor cautions that rational beliefs and practices can also be used to limit our sense of self, and that they can be used to control and manipulate us. He suggests that it is important to be aware of the potential for rational beliefs and practices to be used in this way, and to be mindful of the ways in which they can shape our sense of self. Taylor also argues that the self is not simply a product of reason, but is also shaped by our emotions, our desires, and our values. He suggests that our sense of self is formed through a complex interplay between our rational beliefs and practices, our emotions, our desires, and our values. He argues that it is important to recognize the role of these other elements in shaping our sense of self, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Ultimately, Taylor suggests that it is only through a combination of reason and emotion, desire and value, that we can truly understand the formation of the self. Main idea number 11. The self and the emotional. Taylor examines the role of emotion in shaping the self, and argues that emotional beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that emotional beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor argues that emotions are an integral part of the self, and that they can both enable and constrain our sense of identity. He suggests that emotions can be seen as a form of knowledge, and that they can shape our understanding of ourselves and our relationships with others. He further argues that emotional beliefs and practices can be used to construct a sense of self, and that they can be used to create a sense of continuity and stability in our lives. He also suggests that emotions can be used to create a sense of meaning and purpose in our lives, and that they can be used to create a sense of belonging and connection with others. Finally, Taylor argues that emotions can be used to create a sense of self-worth and self-respect, and that they can be used to create a sense of security and safety in our lives. Taylor's argument is that emotions are an essential part of the self, and that they can both enable and constrain our sense of identity. He suggests that emotions can be seen as a form of knowledge, and that they can shape our understanding of ourselves and our relationships with others. He further argues that emotional beliefs and practices can be used to construct a sense of self, and that they can be used to create a sense of continuity and stability in our lives. He also suggests that emotions can be used to create a sense of meaning and purpose in our lives, and that they can be used to create a sense of belonging and connection with others. Finally, Taylor argues that emotions can be used to create a sense of self-worth and self-respect, and that they can be used to create a sense of security and safety in our lives. Main idea number 12. The self and the cultural. Taylor examines the role of culture in shaping the self, and argues that cultural beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that cultural beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor argues that culture plays a major role in the formation of the self. He suggests that cultural beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity. He argues that culture can provide us with a sense of belonging and a shared set of values, which can help to shape our sense of self. At the same time, however, culture can also limit our sense of self by providing us with a set of expectations and norms that we must adhere to in order to be accepted by our peers. Taylor further argues that it is essential to understand the role of culture in the formation of the self. He suggests that by understanding the cultural influences on our sense of identity, we can better understand how our sense of self is shaped and how we can better navigate our lives. He argues that by understanding the cultural influences on our sense of identity, we can better understand how our sense of self is shaped and how we can better navigate our lives. Ultimately, Taylor argues that culture plays a major role in the formation of the self. He suggests that by understanding the cultural influences on our sense of identity, we can better understand how our sense of self is shaped and how we can better navigate our lives. He argues that it is essential to understand the role of culture in the formation of the self in order to better understand our own identity and how we can better navigate our lives. Main idea number 13. The self and the personal. Taylor examines the role of the personal in shaping the self, and argues that personal beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that personal beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor argues that personal beliefs and practices are essential to understanding the formation of the self. He suggests that personal beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that they can shape our sense of self in powerful ways. He argues that our personal beliefs and practices can provide us with a sense of purpose and direction, and can help us to make sense of our lives. At the same time, however, he also suggests that our personal beliefs and practices can limit our sense of self, and can prevent us from exploring new possibilities and perspectives. Taylor further argues that our personal beliefs and practices can be both liberating and oppressive. He suggests that our personal beliefs and practices can provide us with a sense of freedom and autonomy, and can help us to develop our own unique sense of self. At the same time, however, he also suggests that our personal beliefs and practices can also be oppressive, and can limit our sense of self and our ability to explore new possibilities. Ultimately, Taylor argues that our personal beliefs and practices are essential to understanding the formation of the self. He suggests that our personal beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Main idea number 14. The self and the socialization process. Taylor examines the role of socialization in shaping the self, and argues that the process of socialization can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that the process of socialization can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor argues that the process of socialization is essential to understanding the formation of the self. He suggests that socialization can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is a key factor in the development of our sense of self. He argues that socialization can provide us with a sense of belonging and connection to others, as well as a sense of security and stability. At the same time, however, it can also limit our sense of self by imposing certain expectations and norms on us. Taylor suggests that it is important to recognize the role of socialization in shaping our sense of self, and to be aware of the ways in which it can both enable and constrain our sense of identity. Taylor further argues that the process of socialization is not a one-way street, but rather a dynamic process in which we both shape and are shaped by our social environment. He suggests that we can actively engage in the process of socialization, and that we can use it to create a sense of self that is both meaningful and authentic. He argues that by understanding the role of socialization in our lives, we can gain a greater sense of self-awareness and self-determination. Main idea number 15. The self and the language. Taylor examines the role of language in shaping the self, and argues that language can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that language can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor argues that language is a powerful tool for constructing our sense of self. He suggests that language can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. He argues that language can provide us with a sense of continuity and stability, allowing us to make sense of our experiences and to communicate them to others. At the same time, language can also limit our ability to express ourselves, as it can be used to impose certain norms and values on us. Taylor further argues that language can be used to create a sense of belonging and community. He suggests that language can be used to create a shared understanding of the world, and to create a sense of solidarity and connection between people. He also argues that language can be used to create a sense of identity, as it can be used to express our individual experiences and perspectives. Finally, Taylor argues that language can be used to create a sense of freedom and autonomy. He suggests that language can be used to express our individual desires and aspirations, and to challenge existing norms and values. He argues that language can be used to create a sense of self-determination and to empower individuals to make their own decisions. Main idea number 16. The self and the imagination. Taylor examines the role of imagination in shaping the self, and argues that imaginative beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that imaginative beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor argues that imagination is a powerful tool in the formation of the self. He suggests that imaginative beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity. He argues that imagination can be used to create a sense of self that is both meaningful and authentic. He further suggests that imaginative beliefs and practices can be used to shape our sense of self in ways that are both liberating and empowering. Taylor argues that imagination is a powerful tool in the formation of the self, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. He suggests that imaginative beliefs and practices can be used to create a sense of self that is both meaningful and authentic. He further argues that imaginative beliefs and practices can be used to shape our sense of self in ways that are both liberating and empowering. He suggests that imaginative beliefs and practices can be used to create a sense of self that is both meaningful and authentic, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor argues that imagination is a powerful tool in the formation of the self, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. He suggests that imaginative beliefs and practices can be used to create a sense of self that is both meaningful and authentic. He further argues that imaginative beliefs and practices can be used to shape our sense of self in ways that are both liberating and empowering. He suggests that imaginative beliefs and practices can be used to create a sense of self that is both meaningful and authentic, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Main idea number 17. The self and the autonomy. Taylor examines the role of autonomy in shaping the self, and argues that autonomous beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that autonomous beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor examines the role of autonomy in shaping the self, and argues that autonomous beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that autonomy is a fundamental part of our identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Autonomous beliefs and practices can provide us with a sense of purpose and direction, and can help us to define our sense of self. At the same time, they can also limit our sense of self, by restricting our ability to explore and express our identity. Taylor argues that autonomy is a complex concept, and that it is important to understand the different ways in which it can shape our sense of self. He suggests that autonomy can be seen as a source of both freedom and constraint, and that it is important to recognize the tension between these two aspects. He also argues that autonomy is not an absolute concept, but rather a dynamic process that is constantly being negotiated and renegotiated. Ultimately, Taylor argues that autonomy is an essential part of our identity, and that it is important to recognize its role in shaping our sense of self. He suggests that autonomy can both enable and constrain our sense of self, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Main idea number 18. The self and the authenticity. Taylor examines the role of authenticity in shaping the self, and argues that authentic beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that authentic beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor argues that authenticity is an essential part of the self, and that it is necessary to understand the formation of the self. He suggests that authentic beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is important to recognize the role of authenticity in shaping the self. He further argues that authentic beliefs and practices can provide a sense of stability and continuity in our lives, and that they can also provide a sense of freedom and self-expression. Taylor suggests that authenticity is a key factor in the development of the self, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor also argues that authenticity is not only important in the formation of the self, but also in the maintenance of the self. He suggests that authentic beliefs and practices can provide a sense of stability and continuity in our lives, and that they can also provide a sense of freedom and self-expression. He further argues that authenticity is a key factor in the development of the self, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor suggests that authenticity is a necessary part of the self, and that it is important to recognize the role of authenticity in shaping the self. Main idea number 19. The self and the meaning. Taylor examines the role of meaning in shaping the self, and argues that meaningful beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that meaningful beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor argues that meaningful beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He suggests that meaningful beliefs and practices can provide a sense of identity and purpose, while also limiting our potential for growth and development. He argues that meaningful beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor further suggests that meaningful beliefs and practices can provide a sense of security and stability, while also providing a sense of freedom and exploration. He argues that meaningful beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self, and that it is important to recognize the role of meaning in shaping the self. Taylor argues that meaningful beliefs and practices can provide a sense of continuity and connection to the past, while also allowing for the possibility of change and growth. He suggests that meaningful beliefs and practices can provide a sense of belonging and community, while also allowing for individual autonomy and self-expression. He argues that meaningful beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self, and that it is important to recognize the role of meaning in shaping the self. Taylor argues that meaningful beliefs and practices can provide a sense of purpose and direction, while also allowing for the possibility of exploration and discovery. He suggests that meaningful beliefs and practices can provide a sense of security and stability, while also allowing for the possibility of risk and uncertainty. He argues that meaningful beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self, and that it is important to recognize the role of meaning in shaping the self. Main idea number 20. The self and the identity. Taylor examines the role of identity in shaping the self, and argues that identity beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self. He argues that identity beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of identity, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self. Taylor argues that identity beliefs and practices are essential to understanding the formation of the self. He suggests that identity is a complex and dynamic process, and that it is shaped by a variety of factors, including social, cultural, and historical contexts. He further argues that identity beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self, and that it is important to recognize the role of identity in shaping our sense of self. Taylor suggests that identity is a process of self-construction, and that it is shaped by our interactions with others. He argues that identity is not fixed, but rather is constantly changing and evolving. He further argues that identity is a source of both strength and vulnerability, and that it is important to recognize the power of identity in shaping our sense of self. Taylor argues that identity is a source of both freedom and constraint, and that it is important to recognize the role of identity in shaping our sense of self. He suggests that identity is a complex and dynamic process, and that it is shaped by a variety of factors, including social, cultural, and historical contexts. He further argues that identity beliefs and practices can both enable and constrain our sense of self, and that it is essential to understanding the formation of the self.